It's time for overtime.
Ready for this?
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Now to Giannis. Giannis with 50 and two of his last three now. Pulls up. 15-footer. Yes, sir!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Friday. I don't need to tell you what time it is. It is time for the High Noon Showdown. It's always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. I never want to be a fun sucker on the show, but I do want to be a guy that continues to maintain some old integrity and some rules. So, yes, I'll be the bad guy from time to time. I did have to dismiss just one caller today. No hard feelings at all, but just to rewrite the rule book a little bit here for you, or to bring it back up, you can win once every 30 days on the show. I don't want to be the police on this. I want everybody to have an opportunity to score big and dominate and win up to once per 30 days on the show. Now, that rule does not include the Friday parlay. You can win that every single weekend, and we will applaud you for it all the way down the line. But in terms of on-air contests, once per 30 days, which means I did have to say so long to one listener. I do have Tyler, who is in this week's High Noon Showdown. He's on list A. But if you would like to be our other contestant, you haven't won in the last 30 days, you can score right now, 605-362-3776. That's right. There is room in the other half of today's High Noon Showdown, 605-362-3776. We've got our caller. We had two buzz in real quick. Unfortunately, we go fastest on the draw around here, just like in the old Wild West. You're on line number one. What's your name?
Alex.
Alex, I appreciate the call. Alex, if you win today, I will grab your details. You are going to be on list B today. Tyler is up first, and we're going to get going right now with today's edition of the High Noon Showdown on Overtime.
That's two, that's far shooter.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
Doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot. Although we'd love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
You know, I've been grilling about each and every weekend, multiple times per weekend lately, and there's no better partner to elevate your grill game than the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats here in Sioux Falls. Elevate your grill game at Uncle Ed's on the east side of Sioux Falls. Tyler was our caller number two originally. He's our caller number one by all intents and purposes right now. And Tyler, here's your first question. A jersey number for an NBA star that is set to be in action coming up tonight. Trey Young. What jersey number does he wear, Tyler?
Trey, is he number six?
Number six is incorrect. He wears number 11. Back on hold. You go over to line number one. We go where Alex is standing by. Alex, what jersey number does Grizzly star Ja Morant wear?
I'm going to go four.
Four is not correct, but hang on with us here. Your second question, a couple of quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft class. I'm not going to give you the layups of Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. You got to know your stuff on the show. What college did this quarterback attend most recently? How about Kyle McCord? Alex, where did he play last year?
Florida.
That is not correct. He played at Syracuse. Back over to line number one we go. Line number two, Tyler, what college, this name has been linked in the first round. He might be a first rounder, might be a second rounder, might be a fifth rounder. Tyler Shuck. The last name is S-H-O-U-G-H-R, Shucks. Tyler Shuck, where did he go to college? Most recently is not Illinois. He went to Louisville. Tyler, another question for you as we're still looking for our first correct answer. Here we go. Pay attention here. The last time a quarterback was not selected number one overall, the Jaguars took this pass rusher number one overall back in 2022. What's his name?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, not correct. He took Trevon Walker. Josh Hines Allen was a near top of the draft selection recently for the Jags, but Trevon Walker, the correct answer. Somehow, some way, Tyler, you're still alive here. Alex can slam the door on you if he can tell me this correct name. Alex, the Kansas City Chiefs last had the number one overall pick back in 2013, and they spent it on this offensive lineman from Central Michigan. Alex, what's the name?
Oh, boy. I got no idea.
No idea. We're moving on to overtime. We're still looking for a correct answer. Alex, you get the first crack of the bat on this question. In the last 25 NFL drafts dating back to the year 2000, how many drafts had a quarterback go number one overall? So in the last 25 drafts, how many times has a quarterback gone number one overall? Need a number from you.
17.
We'll see about that guess here in just a moment. Over to line number two we go. Tyler, what is your guess for that question? In the last 25 NFL drafts, how many have had a quarterback go number one overall?
I think it's more. Let's go 20.
20. Oh, my gosh, man. That was a little bit of a blunder. If you would have said 18, you would have hit it right on the head. But unfortunately, Alex is just a little bit closer. Alex, the big winner today in the High Noon Showdown. Tyler and Alex, a fight to the finish. No correct answers, but the tiebreaker proves Alex, just a hair better today. He's our big winner for the High Noon Showdown. Alex, I didn't have an opportunity to grab your info from you, so please call me back at the next break or just hang on hold. I'll be with you as soon as I can, but I got some headlines and highlights to get to on the show. And congratulations, Alex, a big winner today on the program, scoring a four-pack of Minnesota Twins tickets for next weekend against the Los Angeles Angels. Let's dive in to what's still on the way on the show. Latest from the NFL, draft previews for Baltimore and Cincinnati, the NHL playoff bracket odds, and the NBA schedule, and what the schedule looks like for Minnesota in the NBA postseason. And we round out the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Tonight in the NBA, we have the 8-seed games. Winner gets into the postseason. Loser season is over. Heat at Hawks, 6 o'clock on TNT. Miami is a 1.5-point road favorite. And the Memphis Grizzlies, favored at home by 6.5 points as they welcome in the Dallas Mavericks. That is an 8:30 start time on ESPN. The series that are set right now in the Western Conference, we got the Lakers taking on the Timberwolves, the Nuggets taking on the Clippers, and the Rockets taking on the Golden State Warriors. Here's how Brian Windhorst views this series.
This is a terrifically delicious series to go into. What we have seen with the Lakers, kind of what we saw, like Luka sort of carries a big load early and it saves LeBron for late. We see that here with the Warriors, where Jimmy Butler, going into playoff Jimmy mode the last few games, carries the load offensively early, and it allows Steph to go late. And that 1-2 combination is potentially devastating. This is what they were dreaming of when they made this trade. The second thing is, Houston likes to play very physical defense. It's how they're built. The thing to watch Draymond Green try to set the tone with the officials, because the way this series is going to be officiated is going to be very important. Houston wants to play rough and tough. And if America doesn't know who Amen Thompson is, they're going to know who he is after the next 2.5 weeks. Amen Thompson is going to be the point of attack defender on Steph. How these games are called is going to be a factor in this series. And Draymond likes to manipulate stuff from the opening tip. Watch him go to work.
That's Brian Windhorst here talking about the series, Houston and Golden State. Eastern Conference series that are set. We got Cleveland as the 1 seed. They await the winner of the Heat and Hawks. Indiana meets Milwaukee. Knicks and Pistons. Boston Celtics meeting up with the Orlando Magic. NHL hockey concluded the regular season last night. Detroit finishes the season with an overtime loss in Toronto 4-3. And another notable final goal and an assist for Sidney Crosby in a 5-2 win for the Penguins, who did not make the playoffs, but they pick up a win against the Capitals, a team very well thought of in the NHL postseason hunt with a record of 51-22-9. Postseason action for hockey begins on Saturday night. Blues at the Jets, 5 o'clock. Avs at the Stars, 7:30. Both of those games on Saturday on TNT. Sunday, Devils at Canes, Senators at Leafs, Wild at the Golden Knights, Minnesota and Vegas colliding at 9 o'clock on ESPN. Monday series starters, Canadians at Capitals, Oilers, and Kings. And yes, we have a series that doesn't start until all the way on Tuesday of next week. That is Matthew Tkachuk and the Panthers visiting the Tampa Bay Lightning, 7:30 on ESPN. Major League Baseball, Twins were off yesterday, and the Chicago White Sox were off, but they did play a baseball game. They lost 8-0 at home to the A's. And Chicago, better luck next year. Just about time to say that already. 4-14, the record to start the season. Cleveland also lost to Baltimore 6-2. Kansas City lost to Detroit 6-1. And St. Louis also goes down at Citi Field against the Mets, 4-1 the final there. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, D-backs at Cubs 1-20. Other games on the way, Guardians at Pirates, Royals at Tigers, White Sox visit the Red Sox, Mets are home to the Cardinals, A's visit the Brewers, Rockies home to the Nationals, and of course Twins back in action beginning a series tonight against the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. 6:15 the start time, 5:30 pregame coverage in your Twins weekend schedule. Same time, same place tomorrow, 6:15 start, 5:30 pregame. And Sunday, it's a matinee, noon pregame coverage, 12:35 the start time from Atlanta. NFL draft less than a week away. Our top tier coverage, live shows Thursday and Friday of overtime from the Titletown District, Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin. 2025 NFL draft is brought to you by Quickstar and Miller Lite. It's a big year for Miller Lite, celebrating 50 years, and you can get in on the celebration. Celebrations. Do so responsibly, but Miller Lite is always a great pick. Less than 100 calories per adult beverage with Miller Lite. Quickstar has a lot of great things going on every single week, and right now you can score a gallon of ice cream or a gallon of milk on special. Milk going for $2.99, ice cream just $4.99. If I had to choose, probably going with the vanilla or chocolate ice cream. Nature's Touch, the brand, $4.99 a gallon of ice cream right now. Swing by your local Quickstar to save today and download the Quick Rewards app to save even more. NFL draft coverage on the way. Your top five, Tennessee, Cleveland, Giants, Patriots, and Jaguars. Let's talk about one of the top names in the draft. That's Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty. And the Raiders shouldn't have any misgivings, any concerns about drafting him in the top 10, according to former Raiders CEO Amy Trask.
The better your running game, the more resources the defense has to dedicate to stopping your running game, which takes some pressure off your quarterback and off your receivers. Run the damn ball. As to this running back, he is so highly regarded. And, you know, you're talking to the girl who worked for a franchise who drafted two running backs in the first round. Marcus Allen, who was drafted the year before I joined as an intern, and Bo Jackson, who was drafted when I was with the organization. I don't know if you've heard of those guys, Marcus Allen, Bo Jackson. That worked out pretty well. So I'm on board. If they love him, if they love him, if they value him at that pick, don't shy away from taking a running back.
That is former Raiders CEO Amy Trask. She went on to say the Giants might end up not taking a rookie quarterback, and that's okay.
When a team owner says, we're building for the long term, but the coach or the GM, though they have to win right now, they're going to evaluate long term much differently than someone else is going to evaluate long term. When a team has a very, very high pick in the draft, unless that team traded up to get that pick, they earned it. And by earning it, I mean they lost a lot of games. So if you're drafting that high and you haven't traded to get to that position, it means you've probably got a lot of holes on the roster, not just one. So if you're going to draft that quarterback, make sure you do have infrastructure around him.
And the Giants do have some infrastructure around the quarterback. Their offensive line certainly could be better, but it also could be worse. They've got a number one receiver established in Malik Nabers. They've got a couple other targets on the roster. And quite frankly, Tyrone Tracy had a pretty decent rookie running back season. It's not completely bare for the Giants, and their defense is middle of the road. It's okay. They got some stars on the defensive line. They got some stars, budding stars in the back end of the defense. Certainly the Giants could have a worse roster than they do. Drafting at number three, everything came off the rails last year. Obviously not an excuse there, but for me, I still explore a quarterback because you're in the business of keeping fans and everyone in the hope for the future. And right now, I'm sorry about it, Giants fans. I know you're not excited about Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston or Tommy DeVito as your starter next year or into the future. Get somebody in-house. I don't care if it's a third or fourth or fifth round pick and they never play. At least get the feeling going that there is some sort of plan in place. You don't have to spend pick three on a quarterback, but I would be surprised if the Giants don't pull the trigger at some point during the draft. Will the Steelers end up doing that? Because Aaron Rodgers is having some commitment issues. Breaking news. Yesterday on Pat McAfee, he said, you know what? I'm happy. I'm focused. I'm blessed. I'm so humble. And I want to be on the air with you, Pat McAfee. Here's what I'm talking about. He laid out the situation. Interesting commentary on his exit from the New York Jets. Talked about the flirtation with the Vikings and the Giants. His love for Brian Daboll and the continuity for the Steelers. And how he went incognito on the visit to Pittsburgh and nearly pulled it off without getting noticed. There were a lot of headlines. But what I took away is this. It's kind of threefold. Aaron Rodgers is likely to play next year. Aaron Rodgers is likely to play next year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the third bullet point here is, I have no earthly idea what's holding him up. And I also firmly believe he doesn't care about anyone's timetable except for his own. And that's okay. You can afford to be selfish at this age after the career he's had. But the Steelers might end up being better off without Aaron Rodgers. Here's Chris Canty this morning on Unsportsmanlike.
You're not winning a championship with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure if the Steelers know this. Dude been in the league 20 years, only went to one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He won it, but he only went to one Super Bowl.
Right.
So why would you think the second time that's going to happen would be in his age 42 season? It's absolutely ridiculous. Why are we rolling with the retread of Aaron Rodgers? Rip the Band-Aid off. Go for a long-term solution.
Go for a long-term solution. You know, the Steelers did that just a couple of years ago, and they got bit pretty hard by the draft pick of one Kenny Pickett. It didn't work out there. They had a stalwart, a staple, a statue, if you will, in the pocket in Ben Roethlisberger for a while. First-round pick, and that really worked out for Pittsburgh. Couple Super Bowl rings, long-term, high-level playing at that position. Since then, it's been a struggle for Pittsburgh. Canty did play. We had a clip earlier in the show about him talking about you didn't bring back either option from last year, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. But I'm going to reframe and refocus here. I know that Mason Rudolph is a worse option than those two, but Aaron Rodgers is a better option right now than Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. I get that Justin Fields is younger, and I get that Russell Wilson's younger, but when it comes to their physical game right now, and I know stats don't tell the whole story, but Rodgers was okay last year. Russell Wilson was a little bit below average, and Justin Fields was below average last year in Pittsburgh, if we're being honest. They had some winning records. They got to the playoffs. Congratulations. That's what the Steelers do. But Aaron Rodgers would be an upgrade for this year, maybe next year, if everything goes to plan, which it's likely to not, because Rodgers has had an absolute terrifically just average end of the career in terms of things going his way. But we'll wait and see. But he's still a decent option. I'm not buying the conversation of they could have had Justin Fields. They could have had Russell Wilson. There's not a whole lot of teams that are saying, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have got Justin Fields this offseason. I wish I would have got Russell Wilson to lead my team. I think Rodgers is still worth exploring and draft a quarterback. Best of both worlds, maybe that is the best scenario for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rounding out the scorecard this weekend, events on the way. NASCAR race Sunday at Talladega, 2 o'clock on Fox. The PGA Tour is continuing action today through Sunday from the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And UFL returns tonight, week 4 action, Showboats at Panthers, 7 o'clock on Fox. 2 games Saturday, 1 game Sunday in the United Football League. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. The Augustana baseball team takes I-90 to 35 East for a 3-game set against Concordia St. Paul. The teams will play a doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock on Friday before a single game at noon Saturday at Barnes Field. You can follow along at goaugie.com/live. All time, Vikings have been the better program. 42-5 is the all-time series record against CSP. They won 19-3 in the NSIC tournament a year ago, and the Vikings are 10-0 in St. Paul all-time and have won 14 in a row in that series. In its final weekend of the regular season action on home turf, 12th-rated Augustana softball set to host Concordia St. Paul tonight and Winona State tomorrow. with doubleheader action beginning at noon both days. So underway today right now against CSP. You can follow along, goaugie.com/live. Augustana Viking softball, pretty darn good as they are 37-9 overall, 19-3 in conference play. Doubleheader today right now against CSP. Doubleheader tomorrow beginning at noon against Winona State. And rounding out your ReliaBank headlines of the day, all is not lost, Husker fans. Here's an update on the status of the spring game. Spring event is what we're calling it now down in Lincoln. Nebraska football head coach Matt Rhule called an audible on his plan to entirely eliminate full pad scrimmaging on the day of what normally could be the Cornhusker spring game. Rhule said Thursday that the April 26th event replacing the spring game would include an undetermined amount of live scrimmaging for mostly third and fourth string players. Rhule last month became the first coach to announce an end to his school's traditional spring game, citing concerns about other teams scouting his players in a televised scrimmage and possibly poaching them. That is how nuts we are in college football right now. We got the spring window open during spring games so we can leech off of other programs. How shady and crappy are things right now in college football? Pardon my French there, but man, I do not love what's going on. I don't think anyone does. I don't think the players do. I don't think the coaches do. The fans absolutely are disgusted with the current state of things. And I'm going to call for something here. I'm not calling for massive NCAA regulations. I'm not calling for some big name entity to go ahead and be the fun police here. But how about this? Because we're so out of control right now with the players, with the NIL, with the programs, general managers, etc. College football is unrecognizable today compared to what it was 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. This is a different planet. This is a different universe we're in right now for college football. Not only have we empowered the players to make some money, but we've empowered them to go anywhere, anytime, any place, and we don't have any rules. So why don't we go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and collectively bargain with these student athletes and say, we want to protect the integrity of the game. We want to protect your rights, and we want to protect you from you. We don't want hurt feelings every single spring practice turning into, I got to go over here. They offered me additional money. I'm going to go over here. Yep, I'll take your call. Here we go. I got this. I got 10 people on social media hitting me up with offers after a big game or a big spring game or a big practice where somebody's in the woods with binoculars watching me stretch. Whatever it might be, it is absolutely broken right now. So why don't we rip off the Band-Aid and go ahead and treat these athletes that are semi-professional right now, make no mistake about it, like semi-professionals. I know it's hard to swallow. I love college football. I love the bedrock of what we had, what we have, the rivalries, the pageantry, College Game Day, everything goes along with it. The only way to make some discernible change in this space to me is to further treat this like it is right now. We're not willing to admit it that it's semi-professional sports, but it is. Let's collectively bargain and get somewhere with the athletes, somewhere with the administration, the conferences, all the way up to what used to be the NCAA and the overstretching of power. Maybe we give them just an ability to put some guardrails, some hard lines, no more transferring, no more big coaching changes or nut crazy stuff going on during bowl season. Let's set some firm lines, get back to the joy of the game, and allow the players to capitalize from their NIL, because we are lost right now. And I'm not scared to say it. I know some people are. Love college football, but this has been a bad look lately across the college football landscape. We're getting rid of spring games because people are going to poach players. We're having a showcase with third or fourth string guys who might still get poached. That's how wild it is right now in college football. And maybe we just need to start treating these grown-ups like grown-ups and make some sort of rules in place that they can agree to keep the sport pure, to keep the sport fresh, and also keep the sport fun for everyone and not necessarily this wild, wild west, unregulated mess we have right now. Take a break. Back with the latest from the NFL. Draft previews for the Bengals and Ravens coming up next on Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this week-ending Friday edition of Overtime. Hey, I always appreciate callers, especially callers that call in and tell me, hey, you got this wrong, you need to get this right. And I knew there was a reason I put NASCAR on the scorecard. I know it's not the most popular sport for a lot of folks here in South Dakota, but there are fans out there. I grew up being a big NASCAR guy, so it's on the scorecard every single week. Talladega race is not this weekend. It's next weekend, so we'll be on the scorecard next week, next Sunday, 2 o'clock on Fox at Talladega. Special thanks, as always, to our great listeners and great callers, 605-362-3776, the number to dial not only to contest, but to chat on the air or during the break. Calls are always welcome. Let's talk football now at a time when the Cleveland Browns are making some progress toward getting a $600 million bond issuance to help pay for a new stadium in the Cleveland area. The Cincinnati Bengals are having a hard time getting their city and county to pony up. Matt Huffman, the Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, does not support the recent proposal from the Cincinnati Bengals. They want to secure $350 million to renovate their current stadium. I did meet with the Bengals and Hamilton County Commissioner Denise Dryhouse a few months ago or weeks ago, and basically they're talking about a $350 million in cash up front, which is similar to what the Browns were trying to do a couple of years ago, and I don't support that. I don't think the public supports it either. In most places, the public currently would not support any taxpayer money for NFL stadium. So the Bengals are a little bit out of bounds here. $350 million is what they're looking for. A commitment from the city, from the taxpayers, $350 million to renovate their current location there on the Ohio River. Now, here's what the situation looming is here for Cincinnati. The message to the Bengals and Hamilton County is that they probably should have to go back to the drawing board with their current request of $350 million in cash. Now, Bengals Executive VP Katie Blackburn acknowledged recently that the Bengals, quote, could, I guess, go wherever we wanted after this year, because they have a lease renewing opportunity for 2 years coming up very soon. And they could be the next team to move, which is so tragic. Anytime we have major cities in this country lose out on sports franchises, I'm talking St. Louis, I'm talking Oakland, many, many, many times over, and others that come to mind, Seattle in the NBA, hopefully soon getting a team back there. But Cincinnati, massive city, good fans, generally bad football, but still a very deserving franchise, should stay in Cincy. I'm a hardliner. I'm an old school guy. And yes, I know there's opportunities elsewhere. Make a new darn franchise. Keep them there. And I hope that they do figure something out with the city. These are always contentious. And again, everybody wants to have lower taxes and lower commitments, but it is pretty damn cool to have an NFL team in your city. Also, they leave, we're going to cry foul. We're going to claim greed. And sometimes that is worthy. But Cincinnati, I hope, gets the support they need there and meets the public halfway. That's important as well to maintain that relationship with your city. That article courtesy of Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Transactions you need to know about within the last few hours from around the league. Bills general manager Brandon Bean said last year that despite releasing 2017 first-round pick Tre'Davious White, he told the corner it didn't rule out the possibility of his return in the future. As they say in every single exit interview ever that is in good terms, you never know. Maybe we'll get back together someday, and that's what the Bills are doing. They reached agreement on yesterday on a one-year deal worth up to $7 million. White, the first draft pick under current head coach Sean McDermott, was with the Bills through 2023, but was released the next offseason in part due to salary cap reasons after sustaining multiple serious injuries. Rasul Douglas, a starter from last year, one-time Packer, is still a free agent. So the Bills bring back Tre'Davious White. Douglas still on the table for the Bills and multiple teams. And the cornerback market, not strong, not robust, and not healthy right now, because you got two big names, Jair Alexander, Jalen Ramsey, that are on the trading block. And those two guys, over the last 5 years, when healthy, are top five, top three corners in the NFL, and they are getting no nibbles right now on the open trade market. Free agent market is also equally slow. And I'm not expecting anything crazy imminent on Ramsey or Alexander, but I would be happy if I'm wrong. Saints right tackle and University of Wisconsin Badger alum Ryan Ramczyk is retiring from the NFL. He announced this yesterday night. Ramczyk retired after playing 7 seasons and earning All-Pro honors 3 times from 2018 to 2020. He is the second of 2 former Saints All-Pro tackles to announce their retirement this year. Former left tackle Teron Armstead, who was with the Dolphins, announced his retirement just last week. Now let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. Yes, we will. 4-time NFL MVP is still undecided on his future, and he didn't rule out the possibility of retiring as he spoke publicly yesterday afternoon for the first time since being released by the Jets last month. There was a lot of pomp, a lot of circumstance, and of course, some conspiracy theories mixed in the nearly 45-minute appearance on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday afternoon. Quarterback offered little clarity on his next steps or a timeline for making a decision, but he said he's been transparent with teams pursuing his services. He yelled fake news from the top of the mountaintop several times from his Malibu beachfront villa or whatever it is, back porch with the ocean in the distance. And here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say. I wasn't stringing anyone along. I wasn't holding anyone hostage. You are. You are holding someone hostage right now. But anyways, here's what else he had to say. I was honest from the jump about where I was at mentally and some of the constraints I have in my life right now that warrant my attention. I'm open to anything and attached to nothing. Retirement could still be a possibility, but right now my focus has been and continue to be on my personal life. And that's what I've told the coaches. There's still conversations that are being had. It's all been very honest lines of communication. I believe that, but the dude always speaks in riddles. We'll wait and see. I think he plays football. I think he happens to play football in a city that is known for their steel industry of the past, wear black and gold, and his head coach will be Mike Tomlin. I think that Aaron Rodgers is making his way towards that decision. Taking his time, yes. Drumming up drama, yes, certainly. We know that. Best option, best fit, opportunity to start, and of course, win some games is in Pittsburgh for Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to hear this about New Orleans or Tennessee or Minnesota or elsewhere. I don't know about the starting capability and winning capability of those spots for Aaron Rodgers. When he went to the Jets, everybody expected, most people expected, there were some haters out there, and congratulations, you were right, but most people expected him to win in New York. Year one, that gets derailed by the injury. Year two, a lot of people re-upped. Pointing my finger at myself right now, I was one of the buyers last year, and yes, I've got a dunce cap on. So yes, I was wrong there, but Rodgers expected to win last year and the year prior in New York, and I think if he gets to Pittsburgh, that could be another playoff team, because last year they made the playoffs with the aggregate of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and I think Rodgers is still an upgrade. Certainly, I could be wrong. And lastly, let's preview the NFL draft and round out this AFC North. We got the NFC North, and we are done with draft previews Monday and Tuesday. The Cincinnati Bengals, 9-8 last year, made a late run, but they finished third in the AFC North and out of the playoff picture. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2022, and the Bengals hold 6 overall picks in this year's draft. A first at pick 17, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, no seventh round pick for Cincy. The additions to the roster are mostly former Packers. Tadarius Slayton, Oren Burks, and Lucas Patrick all joined the Cincinnati Bengals this offseason. They also brought back in running back Samaje Perine, and the most important transaction that they made was re-signing T. Higgins. This offseason, long-term deal, got the deal done with Jamar Chase. Still waiting on Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. Their losses, guard Alex Kappa, defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, linebacker Akeem Davis-Gaither, and they also said so long to running back Khalil Herbert. Their draft needs guard, defensive line, and linebacker. They've got pick 17. Might be a little bit high based on what we've heard, what we've seen, but he's a quality football player. Gray Zabel is in the mix there, not only because he could fill that guard hole, but he also could be a tackle, guard, center, a lot of optionality, and a plug-and-play starter in Cincinnati. And last time I checked, he got a really good quarterback. He got good receivers. You want to pass the football. You want to protect that quarterback. Gray Zabel can help you do that early on. Another high-end guard in this year's draft is Tyler Booker from Alabama. Keep an eye on him. Could fall to the second round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals. And then that defensive line agenda here. Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan, I would say both likely both very likely to be available at pick 17. And then linebacker Jahad Campbell of Alabama, the highest ranked true linebacker in this class, could be a fit for Cincinnati at pick 17. Also, trade down. They only have six picks. Mid-round offensive line help in the cards for Cincinnati. Baltimore Ravens, our final team in the AFC North to preview. They were 12-5 last year and did the most Ravens thing possible. Dominant regular season, ran the heck out of the football, muddied it up, and then disappointed in the postseason. Again, another playoff appearance last year, shy of the Super Bowl. 11 total picks this year in Baltimore. That is good business. They picked 27th overall. They've got a 1, a 2, a 3, 2 4s, a 5, 4 6th-round picks, and a 7th-round pick this year in the draft. The additions, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, quarterback Cooper Rush, and cornerback Chidobe Awuzie join the show in Baltimore. The losses, guard Patrick Mercari, tackle Josh Jones, and cornerback Brandon Stevens. So not a tremendously active offseason just yet for Baltimore. Now their draft needs are similar to Cincy. They need a guard, they need some edge help, and they need some defensive backfield assistance. Now the best fits at corner for Baltimore, pick 27. They're in the same boat as Minnesota and Green Bay that also have corner as a need. The fits that are there, Trey Amos of Ole Miss, Siobhan Revelle of East Carolina, Jahdae Barron, Will Johnson, if either of them fall all the way to 27, I don't view that as likely. And then, of course, you can throw in Maxwell Harrison, late riser name to know from Kentucky, could be a back-end first-round selection for any of these cornerback-needy teams. Edge rushers, James Pierce Jr. and Nick Scowerton, a name to know back into the first, early second. Scowerton, that stringy, explosive athlete from Texas A&M, could be a fit in Baltimore. And then at guard, going to do it again. Gray Zabel, Tyler Booker could fit the Baltimore Ravens in the NFL draft. That is our final AFC North preview of the day. When we come back on the Monday edition, we'll dive into the NFC North on Monday. I think we're going to do Bears, Lions there. We'll do Packers, Vikings on Tuesday as we have completely previewed the entire NFL already from a draft perspective. That's coming up next week on the show, immediately next. NHL playoff bracket, the latest odds, the NBA schedule for the weekend, and more on the way. It's overtime on a Friday, and it continues next on ESPN Sioux Falls.
College hoops and the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It is the final quarter hour of the show. Final 15 minutes on this Friday edition of Overtime. Let's talk basketball and let's talk hockey. Let's start first in the hockey world. Among the hallmarks of the Stanley Cup playoffs has long been its penchant for unpredictability. And going into this 2025 edition of the postseason, bookmakers and bettors alike are finding very little agreement on how the tournament will play out. For instance, the Colorado Avalanche and Florida Panthers enter as the favorites to hoist the cup at most major sports books, including ESPN Bet, where they sport plus 700 and plus 750 odds respectively. The Carolina Hurricanes are third at most books, but are actually the favorites at FanDuel at plus 650. There's virtually no agreement between the sports books from there, with teams showing wildly different lines up and down the board. The parity is also heavily pronounced as the Toronto Maple Leafs rank 10th at most books and but are plus 1,500 or shorter at each and every one. And this is what makes hockey so darn great. Every year, you get these big upsets. You get the better team, the hotter team on the road. I don't really care about seeds, frankly, in the NHL. It's all about who's playing the best at the right time. You got these long series. You got the star power, different lines, deeper rosters. And it's very unpredictable, which makes it wild and fun. And oftentimes when we get to the end, somebody with their hands on their big, bright, shiny, heavy trophy, Lord Stanley's Cup, might not be the team with the best record, the team with the best players, the team that is playing the best at the right time. It's very unpredictable. And right now, let's take a look at that bracket. On the Western Conference side, Winnipeg, best team in hockey, record Wise meets up with 4-seed St. Louis, a team that has cooled a little bit lately, but were hotter than fish grease just a couple of weeks ago. On that same side, Dallas and Colorado, both of those teams meeting in the first round, have top three odds to win the whole darn thing this year. That's just how important that series is. Golden Knights for Vegas meeting up with the 4-seeded Minnesota Wild. On the other half of the Western Conference bracket, Kings and Oilers, the other matchup. That one is wildly unpredictable as well. If Edmonton is full strength with Dreisaitl, with McDavid and others, I think they're going to go on a run. Eastern Conference, your matchups, Toronto and Ottawa, Tampa Bay and Florida. The defending champion, Florida Panthers, are not favored to win game one. And then you got Capitals, Canadiens, Hurricanes, and Devils. Let's make some picks here real quick on the NHL before we move on to the NBA. Not calling the upset in the first round of Winnipeg. Give me the Jets to move on past the Blues. Give me the Avalanche. Homer, I know Avalanche will move on. And give me the Avs to move past Winnipeg in a 3-1 seed upset into the Western Conference Finals. Other half of that bracket, Vegas is going to handle Minnesota likely. I like the Wild, what they've done, who they are, and the healthful return they've had of several impact starters. Great story, a resurgent season for Minnesota, but Vegas a little bit too good for them, at least in my purview. Kings, Oilers, two of the better teams in the playoff field. Edmonton moving on, and then give me the Oilers over the Knights in that semifinals in the Western Conference. So I got Edmonton, Colorado, and give me Edmonton back on the biggest stage. I know they're not favored early on in that series. We'll certainly wait and see. But Edmonton feels like a decent pick to make after the heartbreak last year in the Stanley Cup Final. Eastern Conference, Toronto and Ottawa. Give me the Leafs to win and appease that fan base. And give me them to win two series as well, because Florida will get by Tampa Bay. And then Toronto, massive opportunity for Austin Matthews and company. Think they get the job done against Matthew Tkachuk and the Panthers. Other side, Capitals and Alex Ovechkin will dance beyond Montreal. And the Canes over the Devils. Give me the Capitals and the Maple Leafs in the final. And I'm going to go off the beaten path here. Give me Toronto on a run. I know it's been forever. It's been very depressing in Toronto lately based on the caliber and the output of hockey. But we're going to go a little different here. How about this? A Canadian all-final. And that guarantees that Canada will get Stanley Cup back for the first time in forever. Those are my picks on that side for the NHL. Couple storylines here from the NBA. Memphis star Ja Morant sat out Thursday's practice and will be a game-time decision for tonight's play-in game against Dallas that will determine the Western Conference's 8 seed. Odds have not adjusted just yet based on Ja Morant's status, so one would think he's going to play in that winner-take-all matchup, a win or go home matchup in the play-in round. And Milwaukee Bucks have some good news to share. Star Damian Lillard has been cleared of his deep vein thrombosis blood clot and is no longer on blood thinning medication. He will not return for game one, but should be back pretty darn soon for Milwaukee. And that is massive news for those Bucks. And a look at that NBA bracket while we're at it here, and some picks, because I need to get these in and out of there before things get finalized, so nobody can call me a cheater here on the show. OKC, I've got them in my finals in the West. I'll tell you exactly how they get there in just a second. In the East, give me Boston. So yes, I'm going relatively chalky here in the NBA. OKC, Boston, the final. And I think we're going to crown the Oklahoma City Thunder for the first time as NBA Finals champions here in 2025. I'm buying the stats. I'm buying the team. Buying the youngsters. OKC going to win the whole darn thing. Denver over the Clippers. Thunder take care of the Nuggets. I've got the Lakers. I know. Got the Lakers over the T-Wolves, really good series, and I got the Warriors over the Rockets with the Lakers going on a run and losing to OKC in the Western Conference Finals. I told you OKC winning the whole darn thing. Other side, Cleveland is good enough, and I think they're good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals where they'll lose to Boston. Bucks will beat the Pacers, Knicks over the Pistons, and of course Boston going all the way only to fall just short of a repeat as champions in the NBA. Those are my picks. You read it there. You heard it there. I'll get them written down just to prove just how off base and dumb I am in the coming weeks here on the program. We're going to round out the show coming up next with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Stick around. We say so long to the Friday edition next on Overtime.
Yeah.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on Overtime. It is time for the speediest ever edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Wish I had more time, but we got 1 minute left on the show. Thanks for tuning us in all week long. Are you tired of your outdoor scene? Give it a facelift today with the help of Hardscapes Outlet. Ditch the bad and ugly yard for something truly great today. Check them out at hardscapesoutlet.com or any of their three Sioux Empire locations. First things first, good news from Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com for the playing future of former Vikings guard Dalton Risner. He expects to be on an NFL roster soon. He's played for the last 2 years for the Vikings, and here's what he had to say. Minnesota has shown interest in bringing me back, but only to an extent. I will be on a team soon. I could imagine Dalton Risner has been plagued by the waiting game as a free agent lately. Could be once again a member of the Minnesota Vikings next year. And the ugly news, Deion Sanders offered a way to soothe any hard feelings over the recent announcement that Colorado's dynamic tandem of Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders skipped the line to have their jersey numbers retired this weekend. Hugs and handshakes for all. Available in Boulder, Colorado. Can we start off with just me shaking everyone's hand that played here before? Just give them a hug. The Colorado coach said after the practice Thursday as the Buffaloes prepared for their spring game on Saturday. They got to come back for that, right? Let's start with that. That's what I want to do. But he also has skipped over a couple dynamic playmakers, a couple dynamic personalities in the past. I understand that Shedeur Sanders was really darn good. Travis Hunter was even greater. Yes, they deserve to have their numbers retired, especially Travis Hunter. But to skip the line and to do this before they're even drafted into the NFL is pretty darn bonkers for me. I'm not in charge of CU Boulder. Neither is Coach Prime. But here we are. Weird stuff out in Colorado. I get the sentiment. Really good players. Get their names up there. Your dad's the coach. Certainly, if he was there for a full career, Shedeur probably one of the all-time greats and a pillar of CU Buffs football. But he wasn't. Travis Hunter won the Heisman, several other awards. And both of those individuals brought a lot of eyes and ears and attention, good, bad, or otherwise, on Buffalo's football. So deserving, yes. The right time, probably not. But that's an ugly situation out there in Boulder as possible alienation of Buffalo alums in the process. Good, bad, the ugly, that is our show. We'll talk to you Monday, 11 to 1, when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.